Find your Bibles. Turn those to Proverbs chapter 1 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1. When you find it, you'll stand with us in honor of God's Word. Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 23. The very first chapter of Proverbs talks about wisdom. Wisdom calling the wayward one to salvation. The wisdom of salvation. The glory of God calls us to salvation and safety. But there are those who turn away from the call. Turn away from God's free gift. Turn away and try to do it on their own, you know. Oftentimes, later in life, they find they have drastically made a huge mistake. Wisdom says in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Now I pray tonight you'll be among us, with us, and in us to shine your light upon our needs, to help us, to guide us, direct us, convict us, burden us, encourage us, and we'll be quick to give you the praise and the glory for it all. Now I thank you for this one who's given their heart and soul to Jesus Christ, who comes to follow you in baptism tonight. I pray your blessings upon them. And I pray your blessing upon each one that's here, as our needs are many and different, but you are able to take care of every one. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. How to overcome fear. How to overcome fear. Sometimes we have fear walking across the street. Sometimes we have fear when we shop at Walmart. It's gotten to be a kind of a bad place, hasn't it? Sometimes we have fear for unknown reasons. Sometimes we fear to jump in the lake, or we fear to put on a pair of skis, or we fear because of finances. We're not sure we'll be able to pay all the bills. Anxiety begins to overwhelm us, and fear grabs hold of us. There are different kinds of fear. Fearing God. Now, I don't think that what your idea of fearing God is the same that the Bible has. The fear means to respect or to trust. But in this regard, fear oftentimes is an emotion that has us doubting and has us full of anguish. So sometimes we fear. I think people, Christians, oftentimes fear when they're called upon to make obligations and commitments. I think Christians oftentimes fear that God will ask too much of them, demand too much, or they will fear that they will be found out for their private sin. Or sometimes Christians fear to take that first step of faith, trusting God for whatever it is He's led you into life about. You know, we can talk about faith all day long, But did you know that the hardest part about faith is not the talking about it or the "I believe it" preacher, but the hardest part of faith is taking the first step. The rest of them are easy. It's that first one you have to get past. We fear. We fear to go there. We fear so often. Verse 33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." How to overcome fear. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 25. Actually, verse 24. He says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Sudden fear. You ever just been gripped and overwhelmed by fear and really you don't even have a clue what the reason is? It's just that emotion like a shot of adrenaline that runs through your system that all of a sudden you're afraid. Sometimes we're afraid to stand before people and speak. Sometimes we're afraid to stand in large crowds and speak. I'm more afraid of the small crowds than I am the large. I can get lost in the large crowds, but I'm held accountable really well by small crowds. Fear. We all have those fears. And he says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Look in Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 24. Proverbs 10 and 24. "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." How to overcome fear tonight? Very quickly, very simply, three things. Number one, how to overcome fear. Number one, look by faith at God. Look by faith to God, for he is able. Look by faith to God, for he is able. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I'm reminded of a passage of scripture as I was putting this together that the Apostle Paul wrote. In the context of it, in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, the whole context in that chapter there is about giving. It's about loving God and proving the sincerity of our love by giving. Now, I believe that giving begins with a bare minimum of 10% and goes from there. But God even blessed the gift of the widow who had nothing, but she gave all that she had, two small pennies, and put it in the offering plate. And God wrote her story down in the Bible for time immemorial. It's more about the heart issue than it is about the physicality of giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I learned that a long time ago. You know, what is it they say that, excuse me. They oftentimes, there's a name and I went blank. I think I'm getting a disease. It's called old age. That word, when we have a list of things that we want to accomplish in life and they say, "Oh, you're one of those." What? No. What? Bucket list? No. No. Come on, guys. No, I thought I was bad. Legalist. Did that ever cross your mind? No, it's like these young squirts singing about getting old. They don't have a clue about it. You know, legalist. They say oftentimes if you're separated, if you have a King James Bible and you wear a tie and you cut your hair, you're a legalist. You think God's going to bless you because of that. That's not it. Hey, look, giving is the same way. Giving only from your pocket is legalistic. Giving from your heart is spiritual. Hello? Makes sense, doesn't it? Hey, look. So chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians is all about giving. And he talks about the fact that as we sow, so shall we reap. In the quantity and the amounts and so on. Sow big, reap big. You sow little, you reap little. You sow miserly, you reap miserly. That makes sense. But look at verse 8 in chapter 9. Now, I understand the context, but here's what I want. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, the context of it is that as you give, God is able to give back to you so that you don't miss what you gave. The context is that God will always provide the ability to give to a good work, to missions, to printing Bibles. God will always provide the finances to you so you can give, so you receive the blessing back in that circle. And that's the context of it. God is able to make all grace. He's talking about the grace of giving and the grace of having so you can give. But here's what I take from that. We're talking about how to overcome fear. If God is able to make all grace abound so that I always have some dollars to give to a project or to a mission or a missionary or printing Bibles or any of those kinds of things, if God can do that, then God can do anything. Can He not? He's able to make all grace abound toward you. That means all kinds of grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Well, number one, how to overcome fear? Look by faith to God. He is able. He's able to protect you. He's able to overcome fear. He's able to do right by you. Why we run to this counselor or that friend and seek advice and seek the how-tos, or run to Barnes & Noble and buy the latest positive mental attitude book on the market and try to pump ourselves up, when where we need to go is to God. I talked to someone lately that's having a very rough time. Very rough. And I gave them some scriptures, one in Deuteronomy that talks about, we read it this morning, talking about loving the Lord with all your heart, that's your spirit, all your soul, that's your emotions, and that you walk before Him continuously, that's your body. Loving God as a Trinity, loving God with your body, soul, and mind, or body, soul, and spirit. And I told them that, and they came back with me, and they said, God is all I have left. I said, and I text back, and I said, you don't understand. God is all you need. Don't you understand? God is all you need. You don't need this and this and this and this. Make your list. You don't need that. God is all you need. That's part of what we were talking about this morning in being happy by being holy, is that when God becomes our whole life, when God becomes the object of our living, when God becomes the object of our breathing, when we really draw close unto Him, and Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I mean, that abiding is a fellowship and a closeness like you've never had before. It's not like God is way out there and I'm way down here. It's like God is right here with me. I sense His presence. I know His manifestation. I love what Jesus said to His disciples. He said, I'm going away, but the Father and I will manifest ourselves to you. Amen. Oh, but how? How is that possible, Lord? Well, we did a sermon on that one time. I won't go back over it, but God manifests Himself in 100 different ways to us through answered prayer, through providing our needs. You know, our needs. What's a need for a preacher? To stand with the presence of the Lord upon him, to stand with the power of God upon him when he preaches, not just get up and read an outline or read something quoted from somewhere else, but to be able to preach with God's presence, God's unction, and God's liberality is a necessity, but that's a manifestation of God's presence. Jesus said, I will magnify, I will manifest myself to you. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here. Some spiritual moron says, well, you don't have to pray for God's presence to be here. He said where two or three are gathered. I know what he said, but I'm acknowledging the promise when I say, Lord, we want you here. We ask you to be here. I'm acknowledging the promise, and by praying that way, I'm trying to be full of faith and say, Lord, I trust that even though I don't sense your presence right now, you're going to be here before the end comes. How many times God's walked in those doors and manifested himself to me, and I hope to you. So here's the whole point. When I'm fearful, doesn't matter what the subject is, doesn't matter what I'm afraid of. I might be afraid of being fired from my job. I might be afraid that I'm not going to have enough money at the end of the month. I might be afraid over $1,000 that people are going to find out that I don't have all the abilities they think I have. I might be afraid in 100 different ways, but in order to overcome that fear, there's only one place I can go, and that's to the side of Almighty God. Look by faith to God. He is able. You say, well, that works well for preachers and missionaries and Sunday school teachers and so on, but I'm not any of those, and who am I? I'm going to tell you something. Before I ever surrendered to preach, I had a business, and I called upon God continuously to help me in that business. You say, you can't do that. Why? God said, pray over all things. I took him at his word, and I begged his presence and his help. He came to my side, and I told my wife, we were talking about this last night, and I said, you know, literally, now I'm not bragging, I'm not trying to pump me, I'm not trying to talk about Viral, but I'm talking about God. I said, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need you to help me in this business. God did such a work, such a magnificent work, that I was the best in 3 states. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you the truth. People wanted me from Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Texas. They were after me to come do the work for them. And I couldn't do it all. I couldn't do all the time. I had an opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia that I did such a great job. But I got news for you. It wasn't just me. I had a co-pilot. And I turned the controls over him instead of putting it on autopilot. When we got up in the air, people thought I was flying the plane. I turned it over to the co-pilot and he flew it magnificently. Who is that? God. Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Why did I tell you that? I told you that because God cares about you. He cares about your fears and your anguish. He cares about where you are, and he will take care of and help any area that you're in if you'll just ask. You have not because you ask not. And you have to believe that he's able to take care of it. And that he wants to. I told you about that bus ride in Russia years ago. Man, oh man. And other things. How to overcome fear. Look by faith to God and realize that he is able. He's able to do all things. In Matthew chapter 8, I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 8, we're talking about overcoming fear, and we're talking about where to go for in time of help and need, and that is look by faith to God, knowing that he is able. In Matthew chapter 8, down in verse number 23, Jesus and his disciples were together, and Jesus told them, we're going to get in the ship and go to the other side of the sea, in verse 23. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. You don't understand. This is beyond the average shower. This is not just some small waves rocking and rolling. This is a roaring wind, lightning. Wind is ferocious. The seas are coming over the sides of the ship. This is a tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. That sounds like fear to me. We perish. Don't you even care? Here we are about to drown in the storm. There you are asleep. We perish. Verse 26, he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, we oftentimes talk about faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, but that's not where we're not talking about quantity. We're not talking about quantity. We're talking about being durative. We're talking about it lasting. Oftentimes the average Christian, they say they have faith, but they're not completely telling the whole story. They say, well, I have faith, but in the back of their mind they're doubting and they're worrying and they're wondering how they're going to do this or this or this in the future. And it has them a little bit upset. Durative faith goes from one project to the next the same way. It takes the same kind of faith to trust God to be saved as it does to trust God to live life every day. Same kind of faith. We have to completely turn loose and let him have control. Completely. So he says to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey?" You know, the best place to be when you're in a storm of life is in the ship with Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith, he calmed the storm. Not only has he done that, but remember in John chapter 1, he talks about the Word. He was the Word, and the Word created, and the world was made by the second part of the triune Godhead, the Son. Notice that he also rebuked the Red Sea. Notice that he also rebuked Joshua's Jordan River when the priest went across on dry ground. Notice that Elijah slapped the river and said, "Where is the Lord God? Where is Jehovah God?" And the Jordan River was parted. Elisha took hold of Elijah's mantle later on, as he was the prophet in place of Elijah, with a double portion. And he said, as he slapped the Jordan River, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the Lord parted the Jordan River again. So where am I going to go when I'm fearful? Where am I going to go when the storms began to overwhelm? I'm getting as close to the side of God as I possibly can get. Right up close to him. Look by faith at God. Here's the second thing. How to overcome fear. Look by faith to God. He is able. Secondly, lay hold on God's word. I don't mean reach and grab a Bible as a good luck charm. I mean lay hold on God's word. Lay it away in your heart. Learn it. Read it. Feed upon it. Be consoled by it. Lay hold of God's word. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word hearing is twice in that verse, but they mean a little different thing. The first hearing you see there means actually the thing that is heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and the thing that is heard, and hearing, or the akouo, the absorption of sound, by the word of God. In other words, the thing that is heard. Faith cometh by the thing that is heard. God speaks to us oftentimes through circumstances. God sometimes speaks to us through the preacher. God oftentimes speaks to us through a word from others, or as we read our Bible early in the morning or late at night, and it's so quiet we can hear our own heartbeat, and we read the word of God, and God speaks to us from the pages of the book. God speaks to us by the still small voice. That is the thing that is heard. Whether it's circumstances or others or the Bible or the still small voice or what it is, that is the thing that is heard. We hear a sermon and suddenly something clicks within us. You've just heard. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The thing that you heard was the word of God as it was read or as it was preached, and something clicked, and then hearing by the word of Almighty God. We have to lay hold on God's word and realize that as a Christian, as a spiritual being inside a physical body, as a spiritual being inside a physical body, we can't feed that spiritual being cornbread and fried chicken. I had cornbread and fried chicken today. Oh, was it good? We deep fried some pork chops too. Big old salad. Cornbread, I slapped it with about a half a stick of butter. It was running out both sides and down my arm when I was eating it. Man, was that thing good. You can't feed the spiritual man cornbread and fried chicken. What are you going to feed him? He's got to grow. He's going to get weak. Does your body get weak? Does your body tell you it's time to eat? You know, I used to eat a lot of sugar, and I don't anymore. But there's a name for that, hypoglycemia. You know, when your blood sugar runs low and you get real, you break out in a sweat and you start trembling and you can't hardly get up and go. And if you eat a little sugar or you eat something like that, you get your strength back. Well, you can't do the spiritual man that way. He gets weak, but you can't cram a candy bar in your mouth and come back real fast. The spiritual man has a different kind of food and a different kind of nourishment than what your body is. And the spiritual man's nourishment is the Word of God. You have to feed that man. You starve him. You say, well, I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. And it sits on the shelf and you didn't get time. Oh, I didn't have time, but I'm going to read it tomorrow. Mañana. And mañana never comes. You never get it done tomorrow. It never happens. No wonder we have such weak Christians. No wonder we have such apathetic Christians who don't know their Bible. They don't read it. They don't know it. And at the first sign of the storm and the first sign of trouble, fear overwhelms them. It's real. And sometimes fear can be painful. It's real. How do I get rid of this? You have to look by faith to God and realize He's able. And you have to lay hold of God's Word, the principles, the promises, and the power in God's Word. There's principles, there's promises, and there's power in God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul also writes, and he says, for the word of God is quick. The word quick in the King James Bible means it's living. It's alive. Oh, you think this is a dead book. It's just like any other book. It's just right there on the shelf. It's just like any other book. No, it's not. This book is dead. This book is living. This book can feed the inner man. This book cannot. Oh, there is a difference. A huge difference. And the Apostle Paul says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it cut? Piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You and I, I've oftentimes told you that you're created in the likeness and image of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a body, soul, and spirit. Now, I can't divide those. I can't separate those, but I can tell the differences and I can tell the parts when problems arise or when I'm trying to worship God and the flesh cries out for something while the spirit is longing to be with God and the flesh cries out, and then the emotions may get involved and they want to tear me away from Almighty God. You can tell the difference if you're born again. But the Word of God will divide the emotions from the spirit. The Word of God will divide that feelings from faith. The Word of God will divide asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A discerner of that which is carnal and spiritual. The Word of God will discern between the spiritual and the carnal. A man may memorize scripture and yet be carnal and not spiritual. But the Word of God will find you out every single time. You can teach a parrot to polyparrot John 3:16, but it doesn't make him spiritual. See? So you have to feed that spiritual man. You have to lay hold on God's Word and realize that there is power in the Word of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. I love what the prophet Jeremiah said over in Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 29, when he was thinking about quitting, he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to make mention of him anymore. I'm finished. It's over. I'm through. I quit. God came to him, began to speak to him. He says in verse 29, Jeremiah 23, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? A fire. There's different kinds of fire. There are fires that keep you warm. There are fires that cook your food. There are fires that purify. And this is what he's talking about. The refining fire. The fire that separates the impurities from the pure. It separates the dross from the silver and leaves nothing but pure silver behind. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Somebody comes out and they're mad at the preacher. And they say, you know, you've been preaching and divulging things that I told you in confidence. No, I didn't. Yeah, but you said this and that. But I read it right out of the book. I just read it out of the book. What do you mean? Oh, see, the Bible is like a fire and it's like a hammer. And it breaks our emotions. It breaks our thoughts. It breaks our barriers down like a hammer can break rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. Do I ever tell you what God says for you to do? No, not unless I read it from the book. Not unless I read it from the book. In other words, I didn't have a dream last night that God told me to tell you that every one of you need to give an extra $50 to the preacher's retirement fund. Now, I had that dream and that vision. I think it was after Max McLean brought me some turnip greens, but I had a vision. Oh, you don't believe it? Well, that's what these prophets were doing in Jeremiah's day. They were saying, I had a vision. God told me to tell you that. No, 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 no. God says, I didn't tell them. I didn't speak to them. And he says, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. That's great. So what do? We stay by the book. We stay by the word. Is not my word like as a refiner's fire and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? You don't see the rocks breaking the steel on the hammer, but you see the hammer breaking the rocks. Sometimes we bow up against God like a big rock and say, I'm not going to do that. But the hammer of the word of God will soften and eventually crack our will if we stay at it. Lay hold of God's word. How to overcome fear. The last thing. Number three. Pray and surrender to the Holy Spirit. God already knows how stubborn we are, but it doesn't hurt a thing to tell him, Lord, my heart is stubborn. I'm reminded, in fact, I prayed the other day. I was having a problem with my body. My body wouldn't get up and go like my spirit wanted it to go. And I said, Lord, the flesh, it just dawned on me, the flesh is wicked. The flesh tries to get me to go a different direction than the spirit wants me to go. And I need help controlling the flesh. I want you to put a lock on it, Lord. I mean, help me out with this. When I start reading the Bible, I suddenly get so sleepy and my eyes start burning so desperately bad, I can hardly keep them open. And my flesh is keeping me from absorbing the spiritual food that my spiritual man needs. Said, Lord, help me. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I beat my body into submission, lest I should be a castaway. In other words, he realized how dangerous the flesh is. And the Apostle Paul says, I try to bring it under submission. I beat my body into submission, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. I'm reminded in Chapter 7 of Romans, Paul said, you know, when I would do good, evil's present with me. When I want to do that which is right spiritually, the flesh and the emotions are already always here to drag me in the opposite direction. And I battle against them and I have a trouble. I have problems with the flesh and the emotion. That's where we are sometimes. And fear comes up within our emotions and our flesh to keep us from the good that we would accomplish. Oh, we have a great thought. I'm going to go talk to my neighbor about Jesus Christ and give them a gospel tract. But on the way, something happens and the flesh says, you know, maybe this isn't the best time to do this. Maybe you ought to come back some other time. If we listen to it very long, the flesh will talk us out of going. Again and again and again. But if we pray and surrender to the Holy Spirit and tell Him, I'm having a problem with this old body you put me in. I'm having a problem with these emotions and this flesh. Can you help me right now? I need your help. Do you realize God will suppress the fear? God will come to you and give you power, and God will guide you in a special way. Never fails. Tell God about your fears. Last verse. Well, I have two more verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I look down in verse number 7. And God is talking to Timothy. He calls him in verse 2, my dearly beloved son. I think Paul won him to the Lord and was a father to him in the faith and tried to mentor him to become a pastor and so on and so on. And he says in verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of power. You remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued, till you be overshadowed, till you be have implanted the power of Almighty God. Till you be endued with power from on high, he said. Here Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. So you finally conjured up enough faith. You've driven your automobile to the neighbor that you've thought about, or the relative, or the friend. And you have your tracts in your hand and your New Testament. You're going to go and give them the gospel story of Jesus Christ and why they need to be born again. And now you're pulling up to their door and you're getting out, pulled up to their house and you're getting out your door. Now the battle begins all over again. Fear. Well, what if they run me off? Well, what if they don't let me in? Well, what if they don't listen? Well, what if they argue with me? I don't know enough Bible to argue back with them. Yes, you do. Besides that, I never argue with people. Never. Never. I present the truth. I never argue. I always come back with another verse of Scripture, but I never argue. I refuse to argue. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. That's great. It means He restores us to our senses. Fear can grip you, but God can bring you back to your senses. A sound mind is control, to curb, to disciple, self-control, to bring one to reason. Oh, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, the power of a sound mind. To be able to speak. You know, here's where that first step of faith comes in. We oftentimes use the excuse, well, I just don't know enough Bible to begin soul winning. I don't know enough Bible to go talk to anybody about Christ. Yes, you do. If you got born again, you know enough Bible. John 3:16 is all you need. John 3:16, 17, 18 is all you need. What about John 3:36? The wrath of God on those who refuse to believe. Tremendous power. You don't have to go all over the Bible. Stay in the same chapter. Go back to the first part of chapter 3. Jesus gave the instructions, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. Whoa. Powerful. So look, there's no reason for you to be afraid. Fear will only rob you and buffet you and paralyze you. But Jesus Christ can take away all your fear and give you peace. John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice what he said in Isaiah chapter 12 in verse number 2. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You ought to circle that verse. Isaiah 12:2. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Wonderful. So how do I overcome fear, preacher? How do I overcome the fear of witnessing to other people? How do I overcome the fear of telling people and inviting people to church? Just getting them here. How do I overcome the fear of not enough finances? And how do I overcome? Just draw near unto God. Draw near unto Him. Look by faith at God. He's able. Lay hold of God's word. Start reading. When you get afraid, won't you grab your spiritual book and start filling your spirit with some good stuff? Turn the TV off and read it. Read it with a purpose. Read it to feed the inner man. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, get out of, Ezekiel and get out of Lamentations and the book of Revelation. Get out of there. Go to the book of John, any chapter in John. Go to the book of John. Go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the Psalms and the Proverbs. Feed the inner man. Feed him. You'll find that it works. Pray and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Confess your faults to God. Confess your fears. Lord, I'm afraid. I have to tell you, back when I was a younger preacher, I had opportunity to go all over the country and preach in different places. And I chose, rather than doing that, I would spend my time with my family and build my family and develop a family relationship. And that's what we've done. And so we enjoy, our family in a great way. I think family is the first organization that God put together. It wasn't the church. It wasn't the organization of preachers and evangelists and, you know, your briefcase and flying all over the country. It was about family and taking care of family. And so that's what I did. But nevertheless, there was an opportunity. I preached in front of several thousand people on more than one occasion, on several occasions, and I preached for several thousand people at a time. It's a huge auditorium. And I got to admit, I was a little bit nervous. And the devil will work you over, man. If you give an inch, he'll take a mile. If you let it be known that you're a little bit nervous, which means you're a little bit fearful, man, the devil will work you over like all get out. He was working on me hard when I just fell on my knees and I cried out and said, God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that my message may not work for all of these people. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of calm my fears. Take away my anxiety. It dawned on me that a message that's good for 10 people is good for 10,000 people. Same message. Same message. You get the same message that would be given to 5,000, 10,000 people. You get the same message. I said, Lord, this is from your book. This is powerful. This is truth. This is your presence. Hey, strengthen me. Man, listen, I've learned to cast my fears upon the Lord because He's not only able, He's willing. I got up and preached like it was nothing. And it was preaching like I'm preaching to you, you know? And I came away realizing God had just manifested His presence to me, in me, and with me that was glorious. That was my fear. I don't know what yours is, but God is able, no matter what. You may be afraid to get up in front of three people and speak, but God is able. Your job might require you to make a presentation somewhere. God is able to overcome all fear and be able to help in every situation. You have not because you ask not. Drawing near unto Him, He'll draw near unto you. The closer you are to the Lord, the less fear you have. Hey, the best place to be in the storms of life is in a ship with Jesus in the midst of that storm. They were amazed that even the winds and the sea obeyed His voice. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your love that you cast upon us. Thank you for security. And we feel secure as your children. We love you, Lord. My greatest desire at the present time is that others learn to love you as a God, as a Savior, as a friend, as a King who loves them, who desires to be with them, who desires to be involved in every area of their lives. Help me manifest that. Use me as an instrument to speak to others. We give you praise and glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.